Hello and welcome back to The Breakdown. It is Monday, April 21st, and we're mostly going to be talking NBA today. Playoffs have started. Cooper Flagg has declared for the draft, and we got the first couple games underway, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. Let's start on the Saturday games. Milwaukee at Indiana. Indiana wins 117-98. Giannis in this game has 36. It's just not enough to get it done, because listen to this help that he got. Kuzma with 0. Taurean Prince with 0. Bobby Portis with 4. Andre Jackson Jr. with 0. The only help he got was from two of the bottom players on this roster, and Gary Trent Jr. with 14, AJ Green with 15, and Kevin Porter with 12. And Pat Connaughton hit a 3. Out of the starters, besides Giannis, there was a combined 14 points. Granted, Damian Lillard did not play this game. But if the Bucks want to win this series against a solid Indiana team, they got to have more than just Giannis. I get that Giannis is MVP candidate, probably historically the best Bucks player ever. But he packed you to one championship. He can't do it again. Pacers, on the other hand, Siakam with 25, 10 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3. Halliburton with 10, 7, 12, solid night. And a rough night shooting, 3 of 13 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3. And Halliburton has a bad game and they win by 20. Andrew Nembhard with 17. Ben Mathurin off the bench with 13. Thomas Bryant with 6. TJ McConnell with 11. The Pacers environment was crazy too. I think the big key factor for the Pacers though is Miles Turner. Miles Turner in this game, 19, 5 and 2, 7 of 12 from the floor, 4 of 6 from 3, 31 minutes. And most importantly, he played very, very solid defense the whole game on Giannis and on Kuzma. I mean, Turner was a big reason Kuzma had 0 points and went 0-for from the field. Miles Turner, I think, is the heart and soul of this Pacers team. I think this Pacers team might win both these home games, and they get the Bucks down 2-0. It's going to be nasty. I just don't – I've said this all year with this Bucks team. I think they're a little overrated. They're very Giannis-dependent, and I think it's showing. That's my take on this Pacers-Milwaukee series. Pacers have a bet. The home environment was crazy. And Tyrese Halliburton almost had a triple-double, and they're getting solid all-around play from the entire team. It's the exact opposite story on the Bucks side, where it's all Giannis and nobody else. They went and acquired Kuzma at the trade deadline to get help from Kuzma, and in this game he goes 0-for. I just think that this is going to be a team effort against a single man effort, and I think the team effort's going to win. I'm taking the Pacers in this series, especially after what I seen in game one. Sorry for the allergies. Typical April allergies. So let's go to the second game from Saturday. We got Denver and the LA Clippers. Denver wins a close one in overtime, 112-110. Harden with 32. Jokic with 29. And I think it's just a team effort from the Clippers that they got them to overtime and probably should have won them this game. Kawhi with 22. Zubac with 21. Norman Powell with 12. Chris Dunn with 10, James Harden with 32, Nicholas Batum with 9, a full team effort. I mean, Zubac with 21-13 and played defense on Jokic all night. But Jokic is the best player in the world, and he had 29-9-12. Aaron Gordon with 25. This is what the Nuggets need in the playoffs. This might be why they made the coaching change. All season we've seen it be the Jokic show. If you think back to when the Nuggets won the finals, it was not the Jokic show. Of course it was the Jokic show because he's the best player in the world, but it was a team effort from the Nuggets. That's what they've been lacking this season, lacking the past year or two, and that's why they won the finals. And look, in this game, Aaron Gordon, 25 points, 8 rebounds. Jamal Murray almost had a triple-double, 21-9-7. What my takeaway was, Murray has to be the second-best player on this team and the fourth-best player in the series. The three best players in the series are Jokic, Kawhi, and James Harden. Murray has to be that fourth-best player in this series if the Nuggets want to win, because Jokic is by far and away the best player in the series. If they could just get Jamal Murray to be the fourth best player in the series, they'll win the series. And look at Russ. Russ wants his ring. 15 points from Russ, 8 boards. I don't like the fact that Russ took 17 shots. I don't think that he should be taking that many shots, especially 6 three-pointers. Russell Westbrook should not have the second most three-pointers on your team. If I have one takeaway from the Nuggets, that's probably it. Overall, solid all-around game. That's what I wanted to see from the Nuggets, was Jamal Murray step up and these players like Aaron Gordon step up. In this one, Michael Porter Jr. didn't have a great game, though. He had 3 points, 4 boards, 1 of 2 from three. But he only played 26 minutes. If Michael Porter can knock down a shot in a big moment, this next team is going to be hard to beat. When they get the bench utilization and they get other stars besides Jokic playing well. And then let's go to the third game Saturday, Detroit and New York. I think Detroit has a chance to win this series. They played the Knicks well. And then the Knicks go on a 21-0 run in the fourth and end up beating the Pistons 123-112. Jalen Brunson, he is a playoff superstar. In this one, he had 34, 8 assists, 12 of 27 from the field, 40 minutes, playing those big-time playoff minutes. Karl Towns, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. OG Anunoby, 23 points, 7 boards. And Josh Hart doing what Josh Hart does every time, 13 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, all-around utilization player. Plus minus of plus 20 in this game for Josh Hart. And this Knicks team is solid. I don't think they're in the upper echelon of teams in the playoffs, but I do think that they are the real deal when it comes to like the mid talent of the East. Like, I think that they're probably better than the Pistons. They're probably better than the Bucks. They're probably better than the Pacers. They're better than this middle tier of the East. So I would like to see the Pistons win the series just because of where they came from last year. Also, I'm a Knicks hater, but you can't deny Jalen Brunson and Karl Towns, experienced playoff veterans. That's the issue in this series, is that Detroit does not have any playoff veterans besides Tobias Harris, who showed it in this game, scoring 25, 8 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 5 from 3. And Tim Hardaway, who had 19, 2 and 1, 3 of 8 from 3, and 7 of 13 from the floor. Cade Cunningham had a pretty decent playoff debut, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists, double-double there. Sixth man of the year candidate, Malik Beasley, 20 points. Dennis Schroeder, he's been in the playoff a time or two, 8 points. But the deal with this is that the Pistons have no playoff depth and no playoff experience, really. So I think that is the deciding factor in this series, and I think it's going to end up going New York's way. As much as I would have liked to seen it go Detroit's way, I think they're a little scrappier. I think that they have a little more heart than the Knicks. But I think the Knicks' playoff experience will probably end up getting them over the hump in this series. Let's go to the game that everybody was interested in. Who wants to see Luka and LeBron in the playoffs? And we see it, and they lose. They get spanked. 117-95. Absolute rout. Luka does score 37, but doesn't really matter. Anthony Edwards with almost a triple-double, 22-8-9. Jaden McDaniels almost a double-double, 25-9. Julius Randle scores 16-5-5. Rudy Gobert has a not-so-great night, but that's not what he's there for. He's there to play defense. Plus-minus, plus 14 on the plus-minus there. And Mike Conley, 9-3-3. Nas Reed off the bench, 23-5-2. Great bench player there. Dante DiVincenzo with 9. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was 7. This Minnesota team has got a little bit of bench depth, and they're causing issues for Luka and LeBron. Luka obviously went crazy in this one. They just didn't score enough and didn't get enough help besides Luka and LeBron. They got 13 points off the bench. Lakers got 13 points off the bench. Luka scores 37, Austin Reaves scores 16, LeBron scores 19. What a shocker, the three stars played well. This is what people thought would be the issues with the Lakers in the playoffs. They have the three stars, but who else? Rui goes 3 of 9 from the floor, 9 points. Jackson Hayes has 1 point. It's just not sustainable, and I think they'll end up winning this series, and I do think that they'll make a run. But Minnesota exposed their weaknesses in this first game. Exposed their weaknesses. Field goal percentage, this Lakers defense. What did we think was going to be the issue with the Lakers before the series started? After they traded for Luka? Defense. 51% from the floor for the Timberwolves. 50% from three. And the Lakers also get out-rebounded. What was the other issue? They tried to trade it for Mark Williams. It didn't go through. They don't have a big. They get out-rebounded. And it's team ball, too. I think a lot of this is on J.J. Redick in the end. Team ball. Timberwolves had 29 assists, and the Lakers only have 15. Of course, you're star-driven, and you have the three stars, so you're probably not going to get a lot of assists because you're playing through them. But this was the issue that we talked about with the Lakers, was that it was star-driven and no team ball. Minnesota showed them how to play team ball, and it paid off. 117-95. Lakers go down 0-1. What I'm looking for, I want to see the Warriors win this Rockets series, and then Steph and LeBron play in a series, and Steph absolutely cook them because Steph might be a better all-time player than LeBron. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to say it. Steph beats LeBron in a series, I might be taking Steph over LeBron. Steph gets another ring, it's for sure. 5 rings to 4 rings, and most of those that Steph won came against LeBron. Let's go to the Sunday games. OKC puts on a show against Memphis. Puts on a show against Memphis. Fifth biggest margin of victory in the NBA postseason history. 131-80. 51-point margin with 7 points shy of an NBA record and the largest Game 1 win in playoff history. Oh, man. This Thunder team is the real deal. The real deal. They hold Ja Morant to 17. Desmond Bane had 9. Zach Edey had 4, Jaren Jackson with 4, Scottie Pippen Jr. with 2. Marvin Bagley had 17, though. But overall, OKC dominated. And Shai didn't have a great night. Shai went 4 of 13 with 15 points. And this guy's the MVP. And he didn't have a great night, and he won by 51. Thunder. I've heard all the talk about them not going to be in the finals. Not the best team in the West. They're too young to win. They came out and said, screw all y'all. Holy cow. Lou Dort with 12. Jalen Williams with 20. Hartenstein with 14. Chet Holmgren with 19. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 15. Aaron Wiggins with 21. And everybody that got in the game besides Alex Crusoe scored. Carson Wallace with 2. A.J. Mitchell with 5. Kenrich Williams with 6. Isaiah Joe with 6. Dylan Jones with 2. Jalen Williams scored 9. Everybody except Caruso scored, and Caruso still had a plus 30, plus minus, because he was out there for defense. One person on this Thunder team had a negative plus minus in this game. One person. And it was Dylan Jones, and it was minus 1. One person had a negative plus minus that touched the floor. Absolute rout by the Thunder. This one's going to be over in 4. Let's go to the second game on Sunday. Celtics, Magic. Magic Chan, we want Boston. No, you don't. You don't want Boston. Boston's going to whoop you in 4. Boston wins 103-86. The story of this game, though, Tatum gets hurt, but he stays in the game. Apparently, x-rays are being done. He got hurt. MVP chance to start out. The Boston crowd was electric in this one. Jason Tatum was quoted in saying that, "I just landed on it. It was throbbing for a second. It kind of went away." That's definitely a thing to look at for the Celtics team. Celtics win 103-86. Tatum was 17-14-4. Jaylen Brown was 16-5-2. Porzingis had an off night. 1 of 8. 5-6-2. Derek White, though, absolutely hot. Mr. Hot Hands. 30 points. 7 of 12 from 3. 10 of 18 from the floor. Jrue Holiday had a solid night, too. 3 of 4 from 3. 9-3-5. And Peyton Pritchard. Of course, Peyton Pritchard has a good game. 4 of 6 from 3, 19 points. Celtics win 103-86 on a night where their three star players didn't even play well. Tatum goes 1 of 8 from 3. Jaylen Brown goes 0 of 2. Tatum 8 of 22 from the floor. Jaylen Brown 6 of 14 from the floor. Porzingis 1 of 8 from the floor. Team stats. Celtics have a better field goal percentage at 45. Magic at 42. 3-point percentage. Celtics only shoot 43%. Magic shoot 37%. Celtics out-rebound them. Have more assists. The story of the night was, the story coming in this one was, Orlando's defense is the real deal. Their defense did look good, but their offense isn't good enough to score to match their defense. If their offense was good enough to score to match their defense, they might be solid. They just don't have any offensive help besides Banchero and Wagner. Banchero in this one has a heck of a game. He's going to be a pain for the Celtics for the next week and a half. But 36 points from Banchero, 11 rebounds, 14 of 27 from the floor, 4 of 7 from 3. When Banchero can shoot that 3 ball, he's one of the better players in the NBA. Wagner with 23, 10 of 24 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3. Not the greatest shooting night from Wagner, but he still has 23. Wendell Carter, 4 points, 13 boards was the big one. But listen to the plus minus for all these Magic players tonight. Banchero minus 4. Franz Wagner minus 15. Wendell Carter minus 11. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope minus 11. I mean, overall, it's just not a solid game from this Magic team. And I don't think they're going to have a solid one against the Celtics squad. Celtics in 4, in my opinion. Cleveland gets a home game against Miami and shows out 121-100. Ty Jerome off the bench. He should be a starter on any other team except this Cavs team, who is guard absolutely dominant. Donovan Mitchell, game one superstar, as always. This one he has 30, 11-9 from the field. Didn't shoot the ball well from 3, though, 2-9 from 3. Darius Garland, 27 points, 10 of 17 from the floor, 5 of 9 from 3. Max Strus gets the starting nod in this one, 9 points, 3 of 5 from 3. Jared Allen has a solid night in the paint, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 5 of 8 from the floor. Only one person on this Cavs team had a negative plus minus they got in the game, and that was DeAndre Hunter, who went 0-for from the floor. I don't see that lasting long. I think it was just a bad night. But the real story is every one of their starters had above a plus 10 plus minus. This Cavs team, this one's over in 4. Heat, the first 10 seed to ever make the playoffs out of the play-in. I don't think it's going to be for much. This Cavs team shot 51% from the floor, 42% from 3. Out-rebounded the Heat offensively and defensively. The Heat did share the ball well, more assists than the Cavs. Andrew Wiggins, 14. Bam Adebayo, 24. Tyler Herro, 21. Just nobody else besides them knows how to play, really, besides Davion Mitchell. But I think it's just this Heat team doesn't have good enough players, really. Andrew Wiggins, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Herro look like good enough players. That's why they had 14, 24, and 21. But nobody else had above 7 besides Davion Mitchell. And how long is that one going to last? Cavs in 4. One of the better games of the weekend, Golden State, Houston. Steph Curry is insane. This dude makes shots that should never go in. Every time this guy pulls up to the Toyota Center in Houston, you know it's going to be a bad day for the Rockets. 95. Old school basketball was the story of the weekend from what I've seen. Boston wins 103-86, old school score. Golden State wins 95-85, old school score. Indiana doesn't have a wild score, 117-98. I've seen pretty good defense both ways in some of these games. And lower scores, Steph Curry scores 31. Şengün has 26. Those are the two high scores from the day. Playoff Jimmy is playoff Jimmy. 25.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 10 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3. And that 1-3 step back bang, tell Reggie Miller about it at the commentary booth over there. Pajimski with 14, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Steph Curry was 31, 6 and 7. Draymond does what Draymond does, not spectacular on the stat line, but plays pretty decent defense. And Steph is Steph. It's that simple. This Houston team, they're young, they're solid, but they're just not going to beat Steph. Şengün has 26-9. Dylan Brooks has 11-3-2. Amin Thompson looks solid. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Fred VanVleet could not get it going. 4 of 19 from the floor. Tari Eason, 3 of 10 from the floor. Jabari Smith hit a couple big shots that kept him in the game till the end. 11 points, 6 rebounds. Stephen Adams does what Stephen Adams does with 12 boards. But I just think that this Rockets team is inexperienced in the playoffs, and they're playing the greatest shooter of all time, and he looked like it last night, and that's going to be the downfall of the Rockets. When the Rockets play the Warriors, something about Curry seeing that Rockets jersey, whether it's James Harden or Chris Paul or Şengün, it doesn't matter. When he pulls up the Toyota Center, it's going in. It's that simple. When he pulls up the Toyota Center, it's going in. Give me Golden State in 5 or 6. And now to Monday night. Games that we got to look forward to tonight. Knicks -7. This game is on TNT at 7:30. Knicks, Detroit. Knicks -7. Over under 221.5. This game's at MSG again. Knicks -7 is my bet. I would have to say that the Knicks get both at home. But I think that they might drop back-to-back games when they go to Detroit. Clippers at Denver tonight. That is at 10 p.m. too on TNT. Denver has won a lead in the series. Clippers are 1-point favorites in this one. Does Denver go back-to-back in the Mile High City? Clippers got to reduce those turnovers. Got to have a big game. I think the Clippers get one back here. My bet would be the Clippers -1 there. Then we look to the next game of those series two on Tuesday. Indiana favored over Milwaukee again, -4.5 in Indiana. I don't really know the bet on that one. I think that Giannis might have a huge game in Indiana, but that home court advantage that Indiana has right now is crazy. I would probably take Indiana -4.5. OKC -14.5 against Memphis, team that got embarrassed, and they're back in OKC. I don't know how you don't bet OKC -14.5. They absolutely embarrassed them, 51 point. Laker -5.5, against Minnesota on Tuesday. That game is in LA again. I don't know about the 5.5, but I'm definitely taking the Lakers to win. They're not going to lose two with LeBron and Luka. And that is the next upcoming games in each of those series. And that has been our NBA talk about the opening of the playoffs, upcoming games in the playoffs, last couple games of the playoffs. And now we're going to finish with who's going to impact the NBA the most next year. And Cooper Flagg has declared for the draft. So we're going to take a look at the lottery standings. Whoever gets Cooper Flagg is immediately going to get a superstar, in my opinion. I had a friend the other day tell me that he wouldn't take Cooper Flagg with the number one pick. I said, are you actually crazy? He's 6'9", and he plays like a point guard. It's insane. So the 14% odds are the Jazz, the Wizards, and the Hornets. Out of those teams with the highest odds, I would love, love, love to see Charlotte get them. Pair them with LaMelo Ball and Brandon Walker. I think Charlotte would become a good NBA team at that point and would be a real deal. The Jazz wouldn't be bad, historically a good team. Pelicans at 12.5% play with Zion, but I think if you get Cooper Flagg, you got to trade Zion out of there. And then Philly at 10.5%, pairing with Tyrese Maxey, that would be something good to watch, but I'm a Celtics fan, and I don't like 76ers, so I would not like to see Cooper Flagg in a 76ers jersey. But would it be good for the NBA if Philly was good again and had Cooper Flagg? Obviously. Brooklyn Nets. Nobody wants to watch the Brooklyn Nets. Hope he doesn't go there. Spurs at 6% would be insane. Cooper Flagg and Wembanyama playing together. And that's about it as far as percentage-wise go. The Bulls are very low. Mavericks super low. Rockets are super low. It's realistically going to be the Pelicans, Hornets, Wizards, or Jazz. And out of those, I think that the Pelicans could be interesting, and I think the Hornets would be interesting. So that is our NBA lottery talk. And I think that overall, Cooper Flagg is going to make a difference in the NBA next year. And I'm excited and looking forward to this week of the playoffs. We'll be back at you soon, recapping some more of the playoffs and some of these upcoming games that we mentioned today. This has been The Breakdown with Brad Canterbury. It was good to see you on here. Have a nice day. Thank you for listening. And please follow, download, and share. Thank you.